الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه، أما بعد، فيقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية أحمد بن عبد الحليم الحراني رحمه الله تعالى في رسالته الموسومة برسالة في اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال رحمه الله فيما وجد من هذه الرسالة وفي مقدمتها، قال: اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ما خلقوا له من عبادته سبحانه وتعالى، كما قال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. وقال تعالى: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين. وقال تعالى: إنا أرسلناك شهيدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. وقال تعالى: وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا، ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان، ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا، وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم، صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور. أورد رحمه الله تعالى في أول رسالته هذه الآيات الدالة على وجوب اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وبدأها بقوله سبحانه: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. هذه الغاية، الغاية من خلق الخلق أن يعبدوه سبحانه، وكل أمر بالعبادة أمر بالتوحيد. ولذلك قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما هذا الكلام وفسر قول الله عز وجل ليعبدون، قال: ليوحدون.
أبدأ كل آية. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. The Sheikh, he mentioned, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, that the author of Sheikh al-Islam, Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim al-Harrani, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he began this treatise, which is entitled Risalatun fi Ittiba' al-Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a treatise on following the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that which was found from this treatise, from the introduction, he began by saying to it, that which they were created for from his worship. As he said, the Most High, and the meaning of which is, and I did not create the jinn nor the mankind, except that they should worship me alone. And he mentioned the statement of Allah, the Most High, the meaning of which is, and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my call. I call to Allah upon sure knowledge, upon insight, me and whosoever follows me, and glorified and exalted is Allah above all that they associate as partners with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily we have sent you as a witness and a bearer of glad tidings and a warner, and as one who calls to Allah by his sleeve, and as a lamp spreading light through his instructions and his guidance sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned, and then the Shaykh, he commented on this portion, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, and he mentioned that the author, Rahimahullah, he began this treatise mentioning these verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which indicate the obligation of following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He began with the statement, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ. He began with the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me alone. So this is the purpose and the goal for the creation, the wisdom of the creation of the creation, and every order with worship mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is order to have التوحيد. يعني every command in the Quran is a command to establish the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like what has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, and also in his interpretation of this verse, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except to worship me alone, meaning إِلَّا لِيُوَحِدُونَ, except to single me out alone for all actions of worship.
وقد ذكر العلماء أن كما أن الطهارة شرط لصحة الصلاة فإن التوحيد شرط لصحة العبادة.
And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that just as purification, ablution is a condition for the correctness of the salat, for the salat to be valid, likewise tawheed is a condition for every action of worship to be valid.
قال وقال الله تعالى قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة, أي قل يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه سبيلي, أي طريقتي التي أدعو إليها على بصيرة, يدعو إلى الله, لا يدعو إلى نفسه, لا يدعو إلى أي أحد, وإنما يدعو إلى الله على بصيرة, على علم.
Then he mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هذه سبيلي, this is my path, this is my way, that which I'm upon. أدعو إلى الله, I call to Allah, meaning he calls to Allah alone with sincerity, not calling to himself, or not calling to anything else, calling to Allah alone, sincerely and wholeheartedly, على بصيرة, meaning out of knowledge and insight, upon light and knowledge.
ثم ليس هذا له فقط وللنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فحسب, بل كذلك لأتباعه ينبغي أن يكونوا على ما كان عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم, أنا ومن اتبعني.
So this is not specific for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather it is for those who follow him as well. His followers also, they must as well call to Allah alone with sincerity, upon insight and upon light and knowledge. And this is what is intended from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أنا ومن اتبعني, me and those who follow me.
قال وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين, لأن أهل الجهل, لأن أهل الشرك هم أهل الجهل, وأهل الإيمان والتوحيد هم أهل العلم. فالدين مبني على العلم, والشرك مبني على الجهل.
Then he, in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the closing of the verse, Subhanallahi wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, glorified is Allah, and I'm not from the pagans or polytheists, I'm not from those who associate partners with Allah in worship. This is because shirk is based upon ignorance, and tawheed and the true religion is based upon knowledge. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is upon knowledge, and the people of paganism and shirk, they're upon ignorance.
هنا يقول عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله تعالى قال من دعا إلى الله بغير علم كان ما يفسد أكثر مما يصلح.
عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned that whoever calls to Allah without knowledge, then he will, that which he works of corruption or evil will be more than that which he does of good.
ثم قال الله تعالى إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. يعني الله عز وجل أرسله بالعلم وليبين للناس, يبشرهم وينذرهم بما أخبره الله وما أوحى إليه. وكذلك يدعو إلى الله, لا يدعو إلى أي أحد آخر, وإنما يدعو إلى الله. وهكذا الداعية إلى الله عز وجل, الداعي إلى الله يجب أن يدعو إلى الله ولا يدعو إلى نفسه ولا يدعو إلى حزب ولا إلى جماعة. ولذلك العلماء يقولون لا ينبغي أن يقال دعاة إلا أن يضاف إلى الله, ما يقال يعني الدعاة هؤلاء الدعاة, ولا يقال الدعاة إلى الله, لأن الدعاة إذا ما أضيفت إلى الله فإنها تأتي في الباطل, دعاة على أبواب جهنم كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالأصل أن الداعية يقال داعية إلى الله, ما يقال داعية فقط, لأن هناك من يدعو إلى الله وهناك من يدعو إلى جهنم. فالإنسان إذا لابد أن يقيد الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل حتى يميز أهل الحق من أهل الباطل. أدعو إلى الله, نعم, وهنا أيضا داعيا إلى الله, بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. نعم.
And then the Shaykh, he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى, commenting on the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إن أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا. O Prophet, we have sent you as a witness and a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner, وَدَّاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا, and also calling as one who calls to Allah by his leave and as a lamp and spreading light, and as a lamp and spreading light. That this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with. He was sent with knowledge, and he was a caller, calling to knowledge, and he was giving people the glad tidings of the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and also warning them from the threat and the punishment and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioning here that he's a da'iyah ila Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a caller to Allah. So he's calling to Allah. He's not calling to himself. He's not calling to a party. He's not calling to a political group. He's not calling to any sect. He's calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla with sincerity, with sincerity. And like this, likewise, every caller to Allah, he must as well call to Allah in the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with sincerity. With sincerity, not calling to himself, not calling to a party, not calling to any group or any sect and the likes like this, only calling to Allah. These are the true callers to Allah. For this reason, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's not befitting to say about the du'at, which is the plural of the da'iyah, the one who's a caller. Neither du'at, the callers. You shouldn't say it like this in this absolute sense. Rather, it should be said du'at ilallah, the callers to Allah. Meaning the teachers in the religion, those who call to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and advising the people, they should be considered callers to Allah. Because whenever you just say that they're callers without any ascription, then this includes callers to misguidance and callers to deviation. Actually, it's come in the text, du'at ala abwab al-jahannam, that there are callers at the doors of the hellfire. So some callers, they call to falsehood, they call to evil, they call to innovation. Some callers, they call to the hellfire, wali'adhu billah, and there are other callers, they call to Allah. So it's incumbent to distinguish the people of truth from the people of falsehood. So when we say the callers, with the true callers, what is intended? Du'atun in Allah, the callers to Allah, with sincerity.
قال وقال تعالى وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. وهذه الآية هي التي تفسر قول الله عز وجل ووجدك ضالا فهدى, لأن الضلال هنا المقصود عدم معرفة تفاصيل الشريعة. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. إذن الضلال الذي أثبته الله عز وجل لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وجدك ضالا فهدى هو عدم معرفة تفاصيل الشريعة. وهناك ضلال نفاه الله عز وجل عن نبيه, ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. فإذا ما هو الضلال الذي نفاه الله عز وجل؟ المقصود به الضلال أي أنه كان على غواية وعلى أمور محرمة, وهذا حاشا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحاشا الأنبياء, فهم صفوة الخلق والخليقة, فما يليق هذا بالأنبياء. فإذا هناك ضلال مثبت وهناك ضلال منفي, فهذه الآية تبين الضلال المثبت. نعم.
And then the Shaykh mentioned حفظ الله تعالى, commenting on the statement of Allah عز وجل وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. And thus the meaning of this noble verse, and thus we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a ruh, a revelation and a mercy of our command, and you did not know what the book is nor what is faith, meaning before. So he mentioned حفظه الله تعالى that this verse here is an interpretation of the statement of Allah عز وجل ووجدك ضالا فهدى, and Allah, he found you ضالًا فهدى. The word ضال here is being used, which generally is interpreted to mean misguided, but that's not what is intended here. That's not what is intended here. What is intended here? That Allah, he found his prophet, that the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the guidance had come to him, before the revelation come, that he was unaware of the details of the legislation. He was unaware of the details of the law and the legislation and the realities of faith before the guidance and the revelation came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is this verse here interprets the verse in Surah Al-Duha. So there is a dalal here that is being affirmed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is intended by that not having knowledge of the details of the legislation, not having knowledge of the details of the Quran and the revelation. And as for the aspect of dalal, which means misguidance and deviation, then this is negated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Allah he mentioned in his book, "Ma dalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa," and your companion, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not go astray, neither did he deviate. And he did not go astray, neither did he deviate. So this is something that the prophets and messengers, they're all free from, especially the best of them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're free from dalal, from misguidance. But the dalal here is two types, one that is affirmed and one that is negated. The one that is affirmed here is in reference to not having knowledge of the details of the legislation and the revelation. And the one that is negated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is misguidance and deviation.
يعني ما يعرف الطريق.
Meaning he didn't know the way, the detailed way to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
هناك راوٍ من الرواة يقال له معاوية بن عبد الكريم الضال.
There's a narrator from the narrators. His name is Muawiyah ibn Abd al-Karim al-Dal. Al-Dal means the misguided one.
قيل له الضال لأنه ضل في طريق مكة.
He's given the nickname Dal, the misguided one, because he got lost on his way to Mecca one time.
وليس يعني ما يتبادر إلى الذهن كما يقول العلماء ليس يعني ما يتبادر إلى الذهن من الضلال.
It's not what you first might think when you hear the word dalal, misguidance, and that he's a misguided individual in his religion, but rather he was misguided, meaning he lost his way one time in the tree, and on the way to Mecca, and he was known for that name.
قال سبحانه ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم. وهذا فيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتباعه يهدي إلى الصراط المستقيم، فالصراط المستقيم لا تستطيع أن تستقيم عليه إلا إذا كنت متبعا له صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed you, O Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you guide to the straight path. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by following him, a person he'll be guided on the straight path. And it's not possible to be guided on the straight path except by following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, su'ila an as-sirat al-mustaqim, qala huwa tariqun tarakana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi awwalihi wa akhirihi al-jannah.
Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about as-sirat al-mustaqim, or he was asked about as-sirat al-mustaqim radiallahu anhu. He said it's a pathway that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left us upon here, and it ends to the paradise, in the paradise.
Sirat Allah alladhi lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard ala ila Allah tasir al-umur. Na'am.
It's the path of Allah, to whom belongs all that is in the heavens and on the earth, and verily all matters go in the end back to Allah for decision.
ما يقال لشخص أنه مستقيم إلا إذا استقام على السنة.
A person is not considered مستقيم, يعني upright and steadfast upon the religion, except if he's upright and steadfast upon the sunnah.
كل من كان على البدع فهو معوج.
Everyone who is upon innovation, then he's deviant, he's not upright.
قال وفرض على أهل الأرض عربهم وعجمهم وإنسهم وجنهم ودانيهم وقاصيهم اتباعه وطاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأنبياء الرسل قبله كانوا يرسلون إلى أقوامهم, لقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت, ولكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرسله الله كافة للعالمين لأنه خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعده, فأرسله الله لجميع الخلق بعده لجميع الإنس والجن الثقلين. نعم.
And then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned his statement, he obligated upon the people of the earth, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, obligated upon the people of the earth, the Arab and the non-Arab, the humans and the jinn, the near and the far, to follow him and to obey him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the Shaykh he mentioned, hafidhahullah ta'ala, that the prophets and messengers before, they were sent to their people specifically. They were sent to their people specifically. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يُعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. And he referring to the statement of Allah the Most High, that indeed we have sent in every nation a messenger, telling them or proclaiming to them to worship Allah alone and to leave off and avoid the worship of all of the false gods and deities. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent to all of mankind. He was sent to all of mankind, and he's the seer and the last prophet. So it's incumbent to obey him and follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى قال كما قال الله تعالى قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ألا لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. وقال تعالى وما أرسلناك إلا كافة للناس. معلوم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمي، والأمي هو الذي لا يقرأ ولا يكتب، وقيل أن هذه الصفة مؤكدة لمعجزة القرآن الكريم. الأمي الذي لا يقرأ المكتوب ولا يكتب صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو هذه صفته، وليس كما يقول بعض الناس الأمي نسبة إلى أم القرى إلى مكة، هذا كلام باطل. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما كان يكتب ولا يقرأ، ولذلك له كتبة للوحي يكتبون. وفي صلح الحديبية ما علم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي كلمة هي رسول الله، فقال لعلي رضي الله عنه ضع إصبعي عليها. لما كتب هذا ما صالح رسول الله قريشا قالوا اكتب محمد بن عبد الله، فإنا لا نؤمن بأنك رسول، ولو آمنا بأنك رسول لما قاتلناك وما منعناك. فحلف علي رضي الله عنه أنه لا يمحوها، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي رضي الله عنه ضع إصبعي عليها، فوضع إصبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمحاها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يعلم أي كلمة هي، وهذا من تمام يعني هذه المعجزة الإلهية والآية العظيمة التي جعله الله عز وجل لا يقرأ ولا يكتب، مع ذلك أوحى الله عز وجل إليه أعظم كتاب هو كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى، الذي أعجزهم جميعا أن يأتوا بمثله أو يأتوا بسورة من مثله، وما استطاعوا، وليس هو من تلقاء نفسه، وهم يعلمون ذلك. نعم.
Here in these noble verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being ummi. The Shaykh he mentioned, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he says it's known that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ummi. And this means that he is a literate one, the one who is not able to read, nor is he able to write. And this description here for the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to emphasize the great miracle of the Qur'an. That this was his description. He's not able to read and he's not able to write, along with the fact that he brought this noble Quran that's not even, it's not possible to reproduce it, not even a verse. So some people, they claim that the word Ummi is an inscription to Umm al-Qura. He said, this is not correct. It's not an inscription to Umm al-Qura, rather it's an inscription to those who are illiterate. They do not know how to read, nor do they know how to write. And it's known that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had individuals that would write for him. They were the Ketabatul Wahi. They were those who would write the revelation for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his command. And also in the treaties of Hudaybiyah, whenever the pagans, they prohibited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the story is well known, he ordered them to write Yani, the treaty is in the name of the Messenger of Allah, and they refused that. And they said, if we agreed that you were the Messenger of Allah, we wouldn't be fighting you in the first place. So they said, right, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't even know where the name Rasul is to wipe out and to erase it and the likes like this. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he had to put his finger on the place where that word was, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could identify that word, because he doesn't know how to read. All of this is to emphasize the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not know how to read, nor does he know how to write. And all,
لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أراد منه أن يكفر عن يمينه وأن يعني أن يحنث.
And because whenever he swore, it was Ali who swore. He did not want him to have to break his oath and then have to expiate his oath and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam erased the name. He ordered for the name to be erased. And the point is that this is the clarification of the complete miracle that this is from Allah azza wa jal. The complete miracle that this is from Allah azza wa jal, and divine sign that this is the revelation, the Quran. It's not the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he can't even read or write.
Inshallah, short reminder and also request from the sisters. Please, sisters, make sure you remain silent, you remain quiet, you control your kids, because there is class going on, and there are sisters who come from other states, some of them from the city. They want to benefit. They cannot listen anything, because some sisters are talking from the woman's side. Please, sisters, enjoy the good and forbid the evil among yourself. If you see one of you talking, disturbing people, having conversation, please remind her to be quiet. If she wants to talk or her child wants to talk, alhamdulillah, go outside, go to your house, go to your car. But in the masjid, while sisters are following the classes, please give them break. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu fikunna. Sorry, teacher.
ثم جزاك الله خير قال الله تعالى النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. وهذا هو الشاهد. وهنا لام التعليل أي لتهتدوا، لأن ليس هناك هداية إلا باتباعه.
So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this verse, النبي الأمي, the unlettered Prophet, يؤمن بالله وكلماته, he believes in Allah and his words. And then Allah, he says, وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. So therefore you must follow him in order to be guided. So here the point of evidence is in this statement here, that you must follow him in order to be guided. So there's no guidance except by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وقال سبحانه وما أرسلناك إلا كافة للناس. ما يجوز لأحد أن يقول يجوز لي أن أخرج عن هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما تقول الصوفية.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the meaning in this noble verse, and we have sent you to all of mankind in entirety, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, that it's not allowed for anyone to claim or to say that they don't have to follow the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that they reach a level where they don't have to follow the legislation and law that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like some of the Sufis, they claim.
وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ لَهُ أَنْ يَخْرُجْ عن طريقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن يتعبد الله بطريقة أخرى فهذا من نواقض الإسلام.
And whoever claims that it's lawful for him to deviate, that it's lawful for him to go away from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's permissible for him to worship Allah in another manner other than the way of the Prophet, contrary to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who claims that this is allowed for him to do, then this is from the invalidators of Islam.
قال وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم فضلنا على الأنبياء بخمس جعلت صفوفنا كصفوف الملائكة وجعلت لنا الأرض مسجدا وطهورا وأحلت لنا الغنائم ولم تحل لأحد قبلنا وكان النبي يبعث إلى قومه خاصة وبعثت إلى الناس عامة. أخرجاه في الصحيحين. فضلنا وفي رواية جاء فضلت. والشاهد من الحديث وكان النبي يبعث إلى قومه خاصة وبعثت إلى الناس عامة. هذا هو الشاهد.
And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the meaning of which is, and we are preferred over the prophets by five. Our ranks were made like the ranks of the angels, and the earth was made a place of worship for us and a means of purification. The spoils of war were made lawful for us, and we were not lawful for those before us. And a prophet will be sent to his people specifically, and I was sent to all mankind. Here it says we were preferred. In some wordings, it mentions I was preferred or favored over the prophets with five. But the point of evidence here is in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a prophet will be sent to his people specifically, and I was sent to all mankind.
وقوله وبعثت إلى الناس عامة يدخل في ذلك الجن، لأن الجن هم تبع للإنس. الجن تبع للإنس، ولذلك الأنبياء من الإنس، والجن تبع للإنس في يعني في 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 الدعوة، كما قال الله عز وجل عن الجن الذين كانوا في زمن موسى عليه السلام، قالوا يا قومنا إنا سمعنا كتابا أنزل من بعد موسى مصدقا لما بين يديه. الذين كانوا في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن سمعوا القرآن قالوا يا قومنا إنا سمعنا كتابا أنزل من بعد موسى، يدل على ماذا؟ يدل على أنهم آمنوا بموسى عليه السلام وبالتوراة ثم آمنوا بالقرآن، فإذا هم تبع للإنس في يعني استجابتهم ودعوة يعني دعوة الدعوة شاملة لهم وللإنس. ولذلك العلماء يقولون أن دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتصفت بثلاثة أمور. دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتصفت بثلاثة أمور. اتصفت بالشمول، فهي للجن والإنس جميعا، واتصفت بالكمال أنها غير ناقصة، اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم، واتصفت أيضا بالبقاء بأنها إلى أن يرث الله الأرض ومن عليها. فهذه ثلاث صفات لدعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الشمول والكمال والبقاء. نعم.
So here in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I was sent to all mankind, any in general, and to all mankind. What is included also here is the jinn as well. Is the jinn as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent to all mankind, including the jinn. Including the jinn. And this is because the jinn, they're following mankind in the call and the obligation of responding to the call of the prophets and messengers. And they're addressed with the legislation like mankind is. They're following mankind in this. So the call of the prophets and messengers is to mankind and the jinn. And that which clarifies this is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reference to the statement of some of the jinn. Whenever they heard the Quran being recited, Ya qawmana inna sami'na kitaban unzila min ba'di Musa, they said to one another, oh, our people, indeed we heard now a book that was revealed after Musa. The Shaykh is mentioning, hafizahullah ta'ala, this indication that there was a group of jinn who heard about Musa before and the book of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they believed in him and they followed him. And then whenever the Quran was revealed, they heard that likewise and they believed in that and they followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So therefore the jinn, they're following in line along with mankind in the fact that they must believe and follow in the prophets and messengers, and the last of them, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is from the inclusive aspect of the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, excluding the jinn and the mankind. all mankind, they must follow him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise the jinn, they must follow him as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from here, the people of knowledge have mentioned that the call of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described with three great traits. The first one is shumul, meaning that it's inclusive, encompassing. That the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encompassing. It's comprehensive, encompassing the jinn and the mankind. No one is exempted from the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one from the human beings, and likewise no one from the jinn. And the second trait of the, or the second trait or characteristic of the call, the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is al-kamal, that is complete and that has been perfected. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, the verse is well known. So the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inclusive, including all mankind and jinn. And likewise it's complete and perfect. It's been completed and perfected by Allah Azza wa Jal. And the third trait is al-baqa, meaning that it's a call and legislation that remains so long as Allah wills, until Allah, He establishes the resurrection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are three traits that the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described with: shumul, meaning it's including the jinn and mankind; kamal, meaning it's complete and perfect; and baqa, meaning that it remains and it will never go away until Allah, He wills.
Da'wat أهل الحق، دعوة أهل الحق هي دعوة شاملة للجن والإنس، ولكنهم لا يخصون الجن بدعوة، وإنما يدخلون تبعا للإنس، لأن هذا باب ولجه بعض الناس وظل أنه يقول والله عندي درس إخواننا من الجن، هذا ما يجوز. الأصل أن الدعوة تكون للإنس وهم يدخلون تبعا، ويجوز تبعا ما لا يجوز استقلالا، وهذه من المسائل، يجوز تبعا ما لا يجوز استقلالا. وإذا نصحت فإن النصيحة تكون لمن أنت تراهم ويروك ويسمعوك، يعني ممن تعلم يعني أنهم يعني أنك تتكلم معهم. ولا ينبغي أن يقال يعني نصيحتي مثلا للجن أن يفعلوا كذا نصيحة، وإنما يقول يعني نصيحتي للناس وهم يدخلون تبعا. نعم، هذا الأولى. وإن قال بعض يعني المشايخ بمثل هذا، ولكن ما سمعنا هذا في الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، وكذلك تابعون لهم بإحسان. فيكتفي الإنسان بالدعوة للإنس وهم يدخلون تبعا، ومعلوم أن الجنة يدخلها الجن والإنس. قال الله عز وجل: لم يطمثهن قبلهم إنس ولا جان، يعني الحور العين، ما أحد مسهن قبلهم من الإنس ولا من الجان. هذا يدل على أن الجن يدخلون أيضا الجنة، ولأنهم لأنهم هم الثقلين، الإنس والجان. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر بأن أهل القبور يعني أن يعني يعذبون في قبورهم، وأن عذابهم يسمعه كل أحد إلا الثقلين، إلا الإنس والجن. لماذا؟ لأنهم مؤاخذون، ولأنهم مكلفون. فالمكلف هو الذي لا يسمع، والمكلف هو الذي يحاسب، وهو الذي يعني يكرم ويعذب، والمكلف، فهم مكلفون. وينتبهوا من هذا المزلق الخطير الذي ولجه بعض الناس فانغمسوا فيه بحجة أن هناك من الجن من نتعامل معه، وأنهم من أهل الخير ومن أهل السنة ومن أهل هذا، لا يليق ولا ينبغي أن يكون من يعني يعلم العلم الشرعي. نعم، منهم يعني القاسطون، قالوا إن من القاسطون ومنا دون ذلك كنا طرائق قددا، ولكن لا ينبغي أنك أنت أن تكون يعني أن تلج هذا الباب، وإنما أنت تدعو إلى الله عز وجل وهم يسمعون تبعا. ولا يجوز الإنسان أن أن يتكلم بمثل هذا الكلام الذي يقول استعانة بالجن أو تدريس الجن أو كذا، هذا كله لا يجوز، وكل هذا مخالف لهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما استعان بهم وما وكان في أشد الحاجة إلى الاستعانة بأصحابه وما استعان بالجن، ولذلك علاقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بهم أنهم يسمعون كلامه ويدعوهم، لأن الله عز وجل أمره بذلك، أمره بذلك، وهم يدخلون تبعا. نعم.
The Sheikh mentioned, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that the call, the da'wah of the people of truth is an inclusive da'wah, all-encompassing da'wah, including the jinn and the mankind, including the jinn and mankind. So here there's a point to pay attention to, and that is that one, he will not specify the jinn with da'wah, that the jinn, they are included in the da'wah or the call to mankind. So the jinn and mankind, they're all included in the obligation of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the people of truth, they call to Allah azza wa jalla, but the call initially is to mankind, and the jinn are following. So the point is that one, he will not specify the jinn for a call, like some of them they do. They say or they claim, "Oh, today I have a dars for the jinn. Today I'm giving a lesson for the jinn. The jinn, they have a lesson with me today." And in the likes like this. So they will not be specified in this manner. Rather, they're included in the call. So the call is to mankind. And the clarification is to mankind. And the jinn, they follow along in this. And this is a principle in the legislation. The Shaykh, he mentioned the principle, يُجُوزُ تَبِعًا مَا لَا يُجُوزُ إِسْتِقْلَالًا. يُجُوزُ تَبِعًا مَا لَا يُجُوزُ إِسْتِقْلَالًا. That it's permissible, things following along or being attachments, that's not allowed individually. That's not allowed whenever it's alone, independently. So it's not allowed to independently call the jinn to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they're included in the call of Allah whenever we're calling mankind. So this is something you need to pay attention to. So a person who not say, I'm giving advice or I have some special advice for the jinn, for example, he give advice to mankind, and the jinn, they're included in the same advice. So even if maybe some of the virtuous scholars maybe have mentioned the likes of this, the advising the jinn, this is not something that has come from the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. So this, the call to the jinn or the advice to the jinn or the admonishment to the jinn is included in the call to mankind, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls the jinn and mankind the thaqalain or the thaqalain. And Allah, he mentioned about the jinn, they're going to be in Jannah. And there's some jinn that are going to be in Jannah. You're referring to the verses in Surah Ar-Rahman, which are well known, that they're going to be in Jannah along with mankind. So the jinn and mankind, the good of them, they will be in Jannah. And likewise, Allah mentioned about the jinn as well, that they are good from them and they are bad. From them there are Muslims, and from them there are wicked. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the people in the grave. Those who are punished in the grave, they will scream, they will shout a cry, that everything will hear their cry. Their cry for help, everything will hear it except for the jinn and mankind. And that's because the jinn and mankind, they're both held accountable. So everyone will hear except for those who are held accountable, those who are going to be taken to account for their statements and deeds, those who will experience the delight of Jannah or the delight of the grave or the punishment of the grave. They're the ones who are not allowed to hear this cry or this scream. All of this is indication that the jinn, like mankind, they are held accountable for their actions and their deeds. But the point is that we have to pay attention to this trap that some people fall into, claiming that they're cooperating with the jinn, or that they're having classes with the jinn, or they're getting help from the jinn and the likes like this. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be in very hard situations, and he never sought help from the jinn. Rather, the relationship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the jinn was exactly what Allah had ordered him, and that was to call them and to teach them. So the call of the people of truth is to the jinn and mankind, but the jinn, they're following along in the call to mankind. They're not specified with any specific call.
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده لا يسمع بي في هذه الأمة يهودي ولا نصراني ثم لا يؤمن بي إلا دخل النار. رواه مسلم. وهذا يدلنا على أن شريعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ناسخة لجميع الشرائع، وأنه لا يكفي أن يؤمن بنبيه، وقد بعث الله عز وجل النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا بد أن يؤمن بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. بل إن لو أن موسى عليه السلام كان حيا ما وسعه إلا أن يتبعني، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, by the one whom my soul is in his hands, no one hears of me from this ummah, whether a Jew or a Christian, then does not believe in me except he will enter the hellfire. So this is an indication, evidence that the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abrogated all of the previous legislations, and that it's not sufficient to believe in the previous prophet. If a person he believed in a prophet before, after the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's an incumbent obligation to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise. Rather, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, if Musa was alive today, he would have no option except to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وهذا أيضا يدلنا على بطلان من يقول بأن اليهود أو النصارى أنهم لا يطلق عليهم أنهم كفار كما يقول بعض المخذولين لأنهم آمنوا برسلهم وهم على كتبهم وهذا كله باطل والله عز وجل كفرهم في القرآن الكريم قد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله ثالث ثلاثة إلى غير ذلك من الآيات ثم بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينبغي لأحد بعد بعثته أن يطلق لفظ الإسلام إلا على الإسلام الذي جاء به رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم الله عز وجل قال ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه المقصود الإسلام الذي جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم.
And the same statement, the same hadith, نفس الحديث.
نعم.
And then the Sheikh, he mentioned.
والدليل الآية هذه الآية أيضا ومن يكفر به من الأحزاب فالنار موعده ولو آمن بالرسل قبله.
And also the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and he confirming the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but those of the sects, any from the Jews and Christians and the likes, that they reject the Quran, then the fire will be their promised meeting place. The promised meeting place. So this is this that we're discussing now is an evidence of the falsehood of the statement of those who claim and they say that we should not call the people of the book, the Jews and Christians, disbelievers. And this statement is a statement of falsehood. These evidences here, they indicate that this statement is not correct. And Allah, he called them disbelievers. And Allah, he mentioned about them, about Allah, he mentioned in his book, قَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ, that indeed those who claim that Allah is the three of third are disbelievers. So Allah, he called them disbelievers. So then we call them disbelievers. And after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not proper or correct to use the term al-Islam except to refer to the Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And whenever Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه, and whoever seeks other than al-Islam as a way of life, then it will never be accepted from him. What is intended here is the Islam that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with.
قال ولم يجعل لأحد بلغته رسالته صلى الله عليه وسلم وصولا إلى الله وإلى رحمته إلا بمتابعته صلى الله عليه وسلم كما قال تعالى قل آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين وقال في الآية الأخرى فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم كل هذا يدل على أن جميع من آمن بالله عز وجل أن الأنبياء آمنوا بالله ودعوا إلى الله عز وجل وكذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آمن بجميع الأنبياء ودعا إلى ما دعا إليه الأنبياء قل ما كنت بدعا من الرسل ما أتيت بشيء جديد وهم متفقون على أصل الدين ومختلفون في الشرائع. ولذلك جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال: كان أهل الكتاب يقرؤون التوراة بالعبرية ويفسرونها بالعربية لأهل الإسلام، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تصدقوا أهل الكتاب ولا تكذبوهم، وقولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا، إلى آخر الآيات. فإذا هذه الآية تدل على أن أهل التوحيد آمنوا بالله وآمنوا بالرسل وآمنوا بخاتم الرسل، ولكن أوجب الله عليهم اتباع خاتم الرسل وهو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن اتباعه هو الذي يكون به الهداية. بل إن الأنبياء، عيسى عليه السلام عندما ينزل في آخر الزمان يحكم بشريعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، موسى عليه السلام كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو أن أخي موسى كان حيا ما وسعه إلا أن يتبعني. فإذن وشيخ الإسلام يرد في هذه رسالة وفي هذه على من يجوز الخروج عن هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويظن أنه من المهتدين، بل هو من الضالين المضلين. نعم. وهذا كله يدل على بطلان حياة الخضر وأنه موجود الآن، وهذا كله باطل وكله من خرافات الصوفية.
And then Sheikh al-Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, and he did not make for anyone who his message reaches him away to Allah and to his mercy except by following him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Most High. He says, and he mentioned in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe in Allah and in what was sent down to us and what was sent down to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Yaqub and the offspring, the 12 sons of Yaqub. And we make no distinction between one another among them, and to him we have submitted. And whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and hereafter he'll be one of the losers. And likewise, he mentioned this another verse, a statement. The Shaykh, he commented that in this there is evidence here that all of the prophets and messengers, they all believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, and they all call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he believed in all of the prophets and messengers, and he called to what they called to. And their call was one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was nothing new. وَمَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I was not something new from the messengers. Rather, he's a messenger coming in a long line, procession of messengers before him, and he's calling to what they called to. So the people of truth, they believe in the messengers and prophets, and they believe in all of them, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's incumbent believing in all of the prophets and messengers sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by believing in all of the prophets and messengers, one is truly following the right path. And the last prophet, by believing in him, when he believes in all of them, and the only way to have guidance is by following the last and final prophet in this manner, when he's following the correct and the good way. So there is no choice for anyone except to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the end of times, whenever he comes back, he will come back judging with the Sunnah and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, as has mentioned previously, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Musa, if he was alive, he would have no choice except to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in this treatise here, he's refuting a lot of the deviant ideologies of the Sufi and the likes like this, claiming that it's allowed for some of them to go outside of the legislation, that they're not required to follow the laws and legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they reach a high level, so on and so forth. This is all falsehood. And also, this is a clarification of the falsehood of the claim that Khadr is alive today, so on and so forth.
قال وفي الآية فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به. الله عز وجل يقول لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم: فإن آمنوا، أي يعني الكفار، إذا آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا. ما معنى يعني مفهوم المخالفة؟ إذا لم يؤمنوا بمثل ما أنتم عليه فقد ضلوا.
Here, the Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned another verse, rahimahullah, the meaning of which is, so if they believe, meaning the disbelievers, if they believe in the like of which you believe in, any of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions, then they are rightly guided. But if they turn away, then they are only in opposition. The Shaykh, he mentioned that the opposite is understood. And meaning if the disbelievers, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they believe in the likes in the same way as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiallahu anhum, then they will be guided. Meaning that if they do not believe in that same way, then they will be misguided.
وهذا مثله قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قالوا من يا رسول الله؟ قال من كان على مثلي ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي.
And this is just like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever informed that this nation is going to divide in 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except for one. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked about who they are, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said those who are upon the likes, like what I'm upon today and my companions.
ثم قال الله تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وهذه الآية سميها السلف آية الامتحان، كما قال الحسن البصري رحمه الله قال ادعت طائفة أنهم يحبون الله على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لهم الله قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. قال فجعل اتباع الرسول موجب محبة العبد ربه جل وعلا موجبا لمحبة الرب تعالى عبده ومغفرته ذنوبه. الله عز وجل في هذه الآية ذكر بأن اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تدل على حب العبد لله. محبة اتباع النبي دليل على محبة الله. وجعل أيضا أن مغفرة الله عز وجل للذنوب لا بد أن تكون بشرط اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا فيه فضيلة عظيمة للمتبعين. فضيلة عظيمة للمتبعين أن الله عز وجل يغفر لهم ذنوبهم بفضل اتباعهم للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you really love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah, he will love you and forgive your sins, and Allah, he's the most forgiving and most merciful. And then he mentioned the statement of Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah and others. They said a group of people claimed, and in reference to this verse here, a group of people claimed to love Allah in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to them, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. So he made following the messenger a necessary requirement for a slave to love his Lord, and a necessary requirement before the Lord will love his slave and forgive his sins. So the Shaykh commented here, Hafidhullah ta'ala, that following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the clear evidence and proof that someone is true and their love for Allah azza wa jal. That the one who truly loves Allah and is sincere in that, this is clarified by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the proof. And likewise, it's a proof as well, or a means for a person to have his sins forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only did he make following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a requirement to truly love him and to have his love, but likewise a requirement and condition for a person's sins to be forgiven. So in this here is a great virtue, a great, great virtue for the people of ittiba', for the people who are sincere in following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that because of the virtue of their Prophet and their efforts in following him, then Allah will love them and forgive their sins.
قال وفي الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال كل الناس يدخل الجنة إلا من أبى. قالوا يا رسول الله ومن يأبى؟ قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. وهذا يدل على أن دخول الجنة مع أنه برحمة الله عز وجل، إلا أن الأعمال سبب لدخول الجنة. الأعمال سبب لدخول الجنة، وهذا فيه رد على المرجئة الذين لا يدخلون الأعمال في مسمى الإيمان، ويقولون الأعمال لا تنفع، وهذا كله باطل. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هنا يذكر بأن سبب دخول الجنة طاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وسبب دخول النار أنهم عصوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد خيرك الله عز وجل في ذلك، فأنت تختار إما الطاعة إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. نعم.
And then the author, rahimahullah, he mentioned the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is authentic: all mankind will enter paradise except those who refuse. They said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would refuse? He said, whoever obeys me will enter paradise, and whoever disobeys me, then indeed he has refused. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhahullah ta'ala, that this is an evidence that clarifying that entering paradise is by way of the deeds. By way of the deeds, from the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla, but the means to enter paradise is by actions. By actions. And also this is a refutation of the Murji'ah, those who do not consider the actions to be considered from sincere faith, from Iman. They consider Iman to not include the actions. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clarifying that from the means of entering paradise is obeying him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the means for people to enter the hellfire, for the people to enter the hellfire, is by disobeying him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah azza wa jalla has given you a choice. He has given you a choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to obey him or disobey him? Are you going to be thankful or are you going to be ungrateful?
وهذا يدلنا أيضا، هذا يدلنا أيضا على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستثني في المكان الذي يستثنى منه، وأنه يترك الاستثناء في المكان الذي لا يستثنى منه. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كل بدعة ضلالة، ما استثنى صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهنا استثنى، لأنه لو قال كل الناس يدخل الجنة لكان الناس كلهم يدخلون الجنة، لكن إلا، إذن هنا استثناء. فما يجوز أن أحد يقول كل بدعة ضلالة إلا البدعة الحسنة. هذا من أين أتيت؟ لماذا لم يستثني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يستثني؟ ولكن الاستثناء في المكان الغير صحيح هذا لا يفعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. كل من صيغ العموم، ومن أبلغ صيغ العموم، ولذلك كل بدعة ضلالة، ما في بدعة حسنة. من قال هناك بدعة حسنة افترى على الله وافترى على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم.
Here also is another evidence clarifying that making an exception for something, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would make exceptions to rulings in their proper places, and he would not use them in the improper places. So here there's an exception being made. Everyone went to paradise except for the one who refuses. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he uses the exception in the proper places, not in the wrong places. So we should pay attention to this. For example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said every innovation is misguidance, here he didn't make any exception. Here he didn't make an exception. In this narration here, there's an exception. Everyone went to paradise except those who disobey, or except those who refuse. So here there's an exception, and here there's no exception. So we don't put exceptions in places where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make exceptions. So if somebody were to say that there is that all innovation is misguided except this one or that one, then this is falsehood. This is not putting the exception in the proper place, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whoever claims that that there is a good innovation, that there's considered bid'ah hasana, a good innovation in the religion, then he's fabricating lies against Allah and fabricating lies against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, the Prophet, he clarified without any exception that every innovation is misguidance. Kullu bid'atin dhalalah. So every kull here is from those words that have a general encompassing meaning and include every aspect, every single last aspect of innovation is misguidance. That's the meaning. So then there's no exception here.
ونختم بهذه الآيات حتى نقف عند رأس مسألة. قال كقوله تعالى ومن يطع الله ورسوله يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك الفوز العظيم ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعد حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين. وقوله تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. وهنا انتبهوا لمسألة خطيرة جدا، نفي الإيمان. نفي الإيمان، كل آية أو حديث فيه نفي للإيمان ليس هو نفي لأصل الإيمان إلا عند الخوارج التكفيريون الذين يكفرون أهل الإسلام بالذنوب، هم الذين يقولون أن أصل الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله كفر، وهذا باطل. ليس الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله أصله كفر، بل أصله معصية، أصله معصية وهي كبيرة من الكبائر وليست كفرا إلا إذا استحل، والاستحلال لا بد من النطق لأن الفعل لا يدل على الاستحلال إلا عند كلاب النار الذي وصفه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك. الخوارج هم الذين يرون أن كثرة الفعل يدل على أنه مستحل أبدا. إذن الحكم بغير ما أنزل، أنت تحكم بين أبنائك بغير ما أنزل الله، لا تظن أن المسألة في ولي الأمر فقط وفي الحاكم والرئيس وأنت خارج منها. جاء بشير أبو النعمان رضي الله عنهما إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال يا رسول الله أريد أن أنحل النعمان نحلة هدية عطية هبة. قال هل كل ولدك نحلتهم ذلك؟ قال لا. قال لا أشهد على زور، ما قال لا أشهد على كفر صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن الحكم بغير أنزل الله، تحكم بين زوجاتك بين أولادك، تحكم أنت بغير ما أنزل الله في بيتك، تجوز الأمر الحرام أنت حكم بغير ما أنزل الله في بيتك وفي أولادك إلى غير ذلك، فهل هذا كفر؟ لا، هذه معصية، هذه كبيرة من الكبائر. ولذلك شيخ الإسلام تيمية يقول كل نفي للإيمان نفي للإيمان الواجب الذي يستحق بتركه العقوبة. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب نفسه، إن فعل ذلك يستحق العقوبة. إذا جاء لا يؤمن ليس نفي للأصل، لأن الأصل هو الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله، أركان الإيمان الستة، هذه هي أصل الإيمان. ثم بعد ذلك الإيمان الواجب الذي إذا تركه الإنسان يستحق العقوبة، ثم الإيمان المستحب. والنفي لا يأتي للمستحب، لأن الله لا يعاقب على ترك المستحبات. فهنا فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم، هذا لا يكون يعني تكفير لكل من حكم بغير ما أنزل إلا إذا استحل ذلك وقال حكم غير الله أفضل من حكم الله هكذا بلسانه، أو قال مساويا لحكم الله، هذا كفر وكان يعرف ما يقول. ما يكون أخطأ من شدة الفرح، قال اللهم أنت عبدي وأنا ربك، أخطأ من شدة، لا يكون كافرا بالخطأ. لذلك التكفير أمره خطير، واليوم أصبح التكفير كشربنا للماء إلا من رحم الله، إطلاق التكفير على الناس وإخراج الناس من الإسلام هذه عظيمة من عظائم. قال وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله، فإذا لا بد من طاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولا ينفع يا إخوة، والله لا ينفع أن يؤمن الإنسان بكل ما أتى به الرسل من قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو لم تكن كتبهم محرفة، فكيف وقد حرفت؟ لا ينفع أن إنسان يؤمن بهذا كله ولا يؤمن بما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أو يشك في كفر الكافر الذي ما آمن بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هناك من يشكك في إيمان هؤلاء أو إسلامهم ويقول هؤلاء كذا، أنهم يعني ما زالوا عندهم كذا، هم أهل الكتاب. نعم، أباح الله عز وجل لنا ما أباح من ذبائحهم ومن نسائهم على الشرط المعروف، نعم، ولكن لا يجوز أن لا يطلق عليهم بأنهم كفار، بل هم كفار ويعني على ما أخبر الله عز وجل. ومن بلغته الدعوة مشوهة أو ما عرف الدين الحق وما وضح عنده الأمر فأمره إلى الله عز وجل، ولكن حكمه في الدنيا أنه من الكفار، لأنه كما سيأتي من شيخ الإسلام تيمية أنه انتسب إلى غير ملة الإسلام، فحكمه حكم الكافرين. وأما ما يأتي ويقدم عليه يوم القيامة فهذا ليس لنا، هذا لله عز وجل. وقد جاء أن هناك أهل فترة، إما معتوه وإما مجنون وإما إنسان ما فهم الدعوة وما وصلته الحجة إلى غير ذلك، هذا يعود إلى يعني يوم القيامة أنهم يختبرون ويمتحنون. نعم، ونقف عند هذا القدر، والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك ونعم على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
And as Shaykh mentioned, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, that we close with these verses here in order to stop in a suitable place. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, like his statement, the Most High, the meaning of which is, and whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be admitted into gardens under which rivers flow, meaning in paradise, to abide therein, and that will be the great success. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and transgresses his limits, he will cast him into the fire to abide therein, and he shall have a disgraceful torment. And likewise, the statement of Allah the Most High, but know by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a judge in all disputes between them, and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions, and accept them, any of the decisions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with full submission. And likewise, the statement of Allah azza wa jal, we sent no messenger but to be obeyed by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he wanted to draw the attention here to a very dangerous and important point, and that is the issue of the negation of faith. The negation of faith, the faith is being negated. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ I swear by your Lord, they do not believe. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنُهُمْ Until they make you a judge, yani a rule, and the things that they dispute amongst themselves in. So here the Shaykh, he mentioned a principle that whenever the faith is being negated in the likes of these texts in the Quran and the Sunnah, what is being negated from the faith is not the fundamentals of faith. It's not the foundation of faith. And the faith that's being negated, it's not the origin of faith, meaning it's the obligatory aspect of faith. Because the faith, it has levels. It has a foundation, and then it has an obligatory amount that must be met. So if the foundation is negated, that means there's no faith. That means the person's in disbelief. But then there's an amount of faith that one must reach. That's the obligatory amount. The one who does not reach that level, then he's a sinner from the Muslims. He's a sinner from the Muslims. He has faith, but it's deficient. So the faith that's being negated is not the foundation of faith, but rather it's the completion of faith, the obligatory aspect of faith. Meaning that those who do not make this ruling properly, they do not follow this verse properly, they are sinners. They're not disbelievers. They're sinners. They're not disbelievers. No one understands these verses to be when the faith is being negated. Like when the Prophet says, "Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min." So and so he doesn't believe. So and so he doesn't believe. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhi. Not one of you believes until he loves for his brother. In these texts here, faith is being negated. It's not the foundation of faith. It's not the foundation of faith. Rather, it's the obligatory amount of faith that must be completed. So again, to those who consider the foundation of faith being negated here, that's the Khawarij. And therefore they declare people to be disbelievers because of their sins. And they declare people to be disbelievers, those who do not judge or rule with the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal, or rule with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They consider them to be disbelievers, misunderstanding the likes of these texts. That's not correct. That's wrong. That's the way of the Khawarij. Rather, you, anyone who the origin with ruling against other than the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal is that it's major sin. And it's major sin. It's not disbelief. It's not disbelief. Making a judgment or doing something contrary to what Allah has ruled, the origin in that is that it's major sin. It's not disbelief. The Khawarij, they claim that the origin is that it's major disbelief, taking them out of the religion. This is not the case. Rather, it's only major disbelief whenever a person, he declares that ruling to be lawful. When he declares it lawful, he rules with other than the rule of Allah, and he declares it to be lawful. And this is only known if he states it, saying that it's lawful, saying that it's permissible, or saying that this ruling is the same as the rule of the Prophet, or better than the rule of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he pronounced that, and now this is known, this is major disbelief. But the one who rules with other than the rule of Allah, believing that it's the rule of Allah, but he follows that way, then it's a major sin lesser than major disbelief. Like you, whenever you rule in your house, a person, if he rules in his house with other than the rule of Allah, if he judges amongst his children with other than the rule of Allah, if he allows things in his home or amongst his family to happen, knowingly and willfully, and he allows that in his house, and it's contrary to the rule of Allah, this is major sin. But he's not a disbeliever. He's not a disbeliever. So ruling with the rule of Allah is not specific to the Muslim rulers and authorities. Rather, everyone is included in this. A man in his home, in his household, and the likes like this, the person is included. So anyone who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jalla, in reality, is ruling with other than the rule of Allah. So the origin, to clarify, is that this is a major sin. It's not disbelief. It's not disbelief unless a person, he declared that to be lawful, or he declared the rule to be good. And the evidences for this likewise is in the Sunnah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bashir. Bashir, he came to the Prophet. He's the father of Nu'man. Nu'man ibn Bashir, radiallahu anhumah. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. كلمة good. لأنه قد يقول يجوز أن نحكم بهذا الحكم. وقد يقول أن هذا شيء طيب فلا يخرج بذلك. لا يخرج بذلك إلا إذا قال أن هذا أفضل من حكم الله أو أنه يساوي حكم الله أو أن يقال أنه سواء حكمت بحكم الله أو حكمت بغير حكم الله فإنهما سواء. أما أن يقول يجوز لي أن أفعل هذا أو أنا يعني أفعله لشهوة وأن هذا الضرورة الآن الزمن أو وجد حكما قبله وفعله هو هذا كلها تدخل في الشهوات. نعم.
And he clarifying the issue of any sinning, of sinning, which is ruling by other than the rule of Allah. So the one who sins, maybe he will sin and say that, you know, I have no other option. This is the way of the people today. And then he will do it. So he will do it. But this is not declaring it to be lawful. When it's considered declaring it to be lawful, meaning whenever he would disbelieve by ruling with other than the rule of Allah, is whenever he said,
ويقول ما في أجمل منها. هذه لذيذة. هل هذا يكفر؟
Somebody who drinks alcohol and he says, "Oh man, this is delicious. I love it." Does he disbelieve with that?
لكن يقول هذه حلال.
But if
أما أنه يثني عليها هذا ما يكفر بثنائه عليها.
If he praises it, "Oh, this is good. I like this one. This is my favorite one." He doesn't disbelieve like this. This is my favorite drink, or this drink is so tasty. I love to drink this drink. He doesn't disbelieve like this. But if he said, "This drink is halal."
لأنه هنا دخل حكم شرعي.
Now he disbelieved because he's not
كذب على الله.
He's not entering here into an Islamic ruling. He's not lying upon Allah. He's just following his desires. So there's a difference here, following one's desires. This is sin, major sin, no doubt about that. But it's not disbelief taking him out of the religion. It's not disbelief taking him out of the religion. So one of the evidences that was mentioned was that Bashir, radiallahu anhu, had given one of his children a special gift. And then he wanted to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to witness over that. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Did you give all of your children a similar gift? And did you make the equal rights in the giving of this gift?" He said, "No, I only gave it to one of them." So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "I don't bear witness to zur. I don't bear witness to any to false testimonies or to evil." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, "I don't bear witness to disbelief." And he's judging amongst his children contrary to what is lawful, contrary to the rule of Allah, who's being unjust in his giving of gifts. So the Prophet ﷺ considered that zur, any a major sin, he didn't consider it disbelief. So these are from the evidences to clarify that a person in his home, for example, if he were to allow his family to do things that are unlawful, he's judging with other than the rule of Allah. But he didn't disbelieve in doing that unless he considers that to be lawful or permissible, or better than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or equal to the rule of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this manner, one he would disbelieve. In this manner, one he would disbelieve. So the issue of takfir, declaring Muslims to be disbelievers, this is something that's major. This is not something light. And unfortunately, today many of the foolish and simple-minded people, they making takfir, declaring the Muslims to be disbelievers, like they're drinking water, like it's nothing. But this is something that is major. This is something that is major, that takes knowledge and insight, and likewise justice. A person, he must be careful. He must be careful. Then he mentioned the issues about obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not sent. No messenger was sent except that he should be obeyed. So one, he must obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wouldn't suffice to believe in the previous prophets and then not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not sufficient. And likewise, as for those who the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached them, but it was not the correct da'wah. It was not the correct call. It was a distorted view about Islam, and they lived and died upon that. For example, they thought they're Muslims, but they're in opposition, contrary to Islam in entirety. Then these people, we deal with them in this life as what is apparent, and that they're disbelievers. But in the hereafter, they'll be judged, any according to whatever Allah wills. Like the people who lived in a time when no messenger reached them, no guidance ever reached them whatsoever. They'll be tested in the hereafter. So these people, they'll be taken to account in the similar manner. And then he closed with that. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.